All right, in today's episode, we're kicking off the first of a three-part series on how to create cash flow. Let's make some money this summer. Excited to get started with you guys on these three transaction lead sources that are going to lead to cash in your pocket in the next 30 to 90 days. Let's get moving. Stay tuned. Here we go. Welcome to the Agent Bridge Podcast. I'm Brandon Baca, Marine Corps veteran and 15-year realtor, broker, and coach.
And I'm Arl Hessen. I'm a Fortune 500 C-suite executive, real estate investor, and entrepreneur.
The Agent Bridge is the proven path to real estate success without the burnout. All right, dude, can you believe we've done 30 episodes of this?
I cannot. I was just thinking about that the other day. We started this podcast in October. So we're, you know, we're pretty deep in at this point.
3-0, and apparently we're just getting around to talking about making money.
Yeah.
That's not true. Okay, so we've had a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. We have talked about in previous episodes, but we wanted to condense it for you guys to create, so you guys can create some income for yourselves this summer and into the second half of the year, especially as we're sort of dealing with this awkward market. Not that it's bad. It's not bad. It's not good. It just is what it is. And we're going to teach you how to make money in it using some of our fundamental Agent Bridge strategies. So I'm excited to talk about this stuff and get you guys moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out pretty good too, because we have a lot of new listeners.
Right.
And so boiling this down into a three-part series where we really hammer home kind of the things that you need to be doing to generate income for your business, I think that's going to be good, because like I said, people are coming in, they're coming out. We have a lot of new faces. Mm-hmm. So just taking a minute to just work on those three concepts over the next 3 weeks, I think will be solid. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
The other thing that's exciting is we're going to pair each of these episodes with kind of an ebook that you can download, and we're going to basically start communicating you guys with in a VIP group. So you guys that download the ebook, you guys are going to be a part of our VIP. We're looking at having some events coming up, so we're excited about that.
Yep.
But before we go any further, stop right now. Please do me a favor. From the bottom of my heart, please do this. Stop. Either first, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. Like and or comment. Do one or all of those things. I would really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much. So we're going to stop now. And now I'm saying thank you for doing that. I really, really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys listening and giving us your feedback on the Agent Bridge. Okay, let's talk about the market update. I sent you a text the other day because I thought we should talk about this. Let's talk about the debt ceiling and all of the back and forth in politics. And what was the thing on Realtor.com, that little gotcha or clickbait topic? They said it was going to, they basically said if we don't agree on the
it's going to implode
debt ceiling, it was going to eviscerate.
Yeah, eviscerate
the market.
I think which that's is the word
a good word for a clickbait.
Yeah, and it could. I think they've said that this deadline is June 1st to figure all this stuff out. I am skeptical there. I'm not sure that that's actually the hard and fast date. But basically, if you boil it down to very simple terms, they can't come to an agreement on the budget. Mm-hmm. And until they do, there's a standoff here. Both sides want what they want, and there's a standoff. And until they come to an agreement, then we're at risk here of defaulting, which has never happened in the history of our country. So,
right.
And if we default, there could be a waterfall of activity that is extremely negative, not only for the housing market, but for all markets.
Yeah.
There's a risk there. They'll work it out. I mean, I feel like no one wins if that happens. And
yeah, I don't want to underplay the seriousness of it because yeah, if they don't figure it out, it's a big problem. I mean, it's a domino effect for sure, but I feel like it's a game of political chicken. Like basically both sides are kind of like, unless you do this, unless you do that. And so there's all this back and forth that, you know, gets kind of trumped up and blown out of proportion in order to create, political leverage.
Yeah. But I mean, the reality of the situation is markets are already responding. So we're already seeing rates tick up. So they hovered around, I don't know when we did our last market update, a week or two ago, but they were hovering around 6.5 for a long time, longer than they had any other, you know, kind of percentage back since November. Right. And now they shot up to 7.1. So 7.08. But yeah, it's rates are responding negatively to the news. Hopefully this all gets resolved and they come back, you know, to where they were a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, but we're sitting pretty high right now.
Yeah, it's which is a challenge, I know, for you guys that are out in the marketplace and how to communicate to your clients. And but try not to be too reactive and or let all of that stuff set root in your brain as a limiting belief as to why things are not moving. You still have the ability to go out there and create your own economy, to create listings, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
There's still enough business.
There's still enough business, and here's how you get it. And the first thing that I can tell you is just it's just going to be about doing the things that other real estate agents won't do. The stuff that we're going to teach you in these next three episodes, you would be amazed. It feels like it's a piece of, you're like, that's not a really great strategy. It feels like it's simple. It's like, and it is simple, but people don't do it because they're lazy and or they don't have the discipline and or they are always creating limiting beliefs or excuses. So don't be that agent. The stuff that we're teaching you, just take action on it, make it happen, and it will create results for you, no question.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the most common reason people don't do this is they don't want to be outed as a fraud. They don't want to make a phone call where someone, they feel like they come across as they don't know anything.
Right.
Especially new agents. So, right. You know, we'll teach you how to make these phone calls and get better at them and start to portray confidence, because that's really all it takes. Yeah. Is once you're portraying confidence and you're, you know, wanting to serve other people, mm-hmm. the rest will come out in the wash.
Completely. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to start with, and we've talked about, you know, before in previous podcasts, that there are three types of lead sources. You've got your aspirational. Those are people who put their name, phone number, email in a internet search, right? And you get their information. Those are about a 12-month process. Then you've got your research. Those are people you've talked to that said, hey, we know the school system. We know we have a job movement. It's going to happen in the next 6 to 12 months. But what we're going to talk about to create cash flow in these next 3 weeks is those transactional lead sources, people that have to buy or sell right now. And across the history of my career in real estate, most of the houses that we have sold have been because people need to buy or sell or have to buy and sell because of a job change, because of a family change, because of a, you know, any number of things that are going to create a life event that's going to create the purchase or sale of a home. So that's where you have to kind of go first, is like, okay, when you are sourcing information, you're talking to people, having conversations with people, is there a life event around this transaction? And the life event is going to precede the action.
That's right.
So we're going to start with for sell by owners, which, you know, I've been teaching on for sell by owners for 15 years. In my 15 years of doing it, they have never not worked. And also the percentages of for sell by owners that end up listing their house hasn't changed, and in some cases has gone up. And I just think that's interesting. But with all of the internet stuff out there and all of the technology, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Why do you think for sale by owners are still having to list to sell their houses?
Why do they still have to list?
Yeah.
Exposure. Yeah. I mean, exposure is the bottom line. Professionalism. People want to use a service that they know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
And they don't know, like, and trust an individual they've never met. So, and you know, they may not have met their real estate agent either, but there's some assumption there that they're a licensed professional.
Correct.
They know what they're doing. You know, and it's also the biggest purchase people ever make. So, you know, to use a professional, mm-hmm. it just makes sense.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, I you can definitely make the case for exposure, even though you can put it on Zillow now. But I agree with you. This is a complicated transaction. And for a buyer that's walking into that scenario, they're going to have some trepidation about entering into a scenario where they can't really, there's not a professional verifying the price. There's not a professional as a mediator to make sure that the thing goes well. And what I have found in my years of coaching and doing for sell by owners myself is a lot of times those sellers will kill a deal because they don't know what they're doing. Yep. Because they'll start drawing lines in the sand on things that are normal procedures for carrying out a real estate transaction. Like, that's, they'll right. say, well, I'm not doing it. I'm doing this as is. Well, what's the difference between that and spending $2,000 on repairs, right? And yeah. So people, they just don't know what's normal. And so they have they're in a high emotional state. And so they're reactive. And so, a lot of for sale by owners, even if, you know, you were to call a for sale by owner and they said, well, we're under contract right now, there is a high probability that that's going to fall out.
Yeah.
Because the person that's selling and or buying doesn't have a professional involved and has a high likelihood of killing the deal.
And there's periods in real estate where this works better than other times. Like during COVID, you could list your house in the newspaper and probably would have gotten plenty of calls and would have sold your house.
Right.
Would you have sold it for top dollar? Different discussion, not what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. But would have sold your home without a real estate agent. No question asked.
Yeah.
But, you know, did you get top dollar? And then is every real estate market conducive to listing your own home? It's not. Mm-hmm. Like I can tell you right now, people who are going for sell by owner, it's sitting.
Yeah.
Because usually they have the incorrect price. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that a lot. Anything that's not moving right now, priced inappropriately.
Correct.
The inventory is too low. If it's priced appropriately, it'll move.
Yeah.
But for sale by owners don't know how to price.
Yeah, so amongst other things. And so, you know, no offense if you've sold your house for sale by owner, but the reality of it is in the majority of scenarios, there's just a lack of knowledge in the process, pricing, strategy, marketing, advertising, pictures. There's just a ton of things that need to be done. And then the other thing is the for sale by owner could be potentially missing out on opportunities because they're typically working a full-time job. And then they didn't realize they took on another full-time job in selling their house. And so they're not really giving it the attention that they thought they would be able to give it.
Yeah.
They thought, hey, I'm going to put it on the market. And on Saturday, somebody's going to come in and write me an offer and we'll just knock this out over the weekend.
And the reason why I said exposure before is, yeah, you can throw it on Zillow and a lot of people look on Zillow, but there's a lot of people who work with a real estate agent and a real estate agent's running searches on the MLS and they're sending you data off the MLS.
Right.
And if you're not on there doing your own searches on Zillow, you would have missed that one that's not on the MLS. So there is an exposure factor to it. It's not the only factor, but it's a factor. And they're just, like I said, working with professionals is huge.
Well, the other thing that I can tell you is, and as long as I've been in real estate, you have the flat fee MLS services. Okay. Yeah. So we can talk about that for a second, which is basically people who pay $400, $500, $1,000, whatever, to list with a flat fee company. And that flat fee company, all they do is basically put the house on the MLS. They're not taking professional pictures, or they may have like a service ad. You know, there where it's like, okay, well, you have these different levels of service that you can choose and they're going to cost more money. But even still with those flat fee MLS services, you run into the same scenario. So it's typically that person that's on the other side of it. First of all, there's not really a real estate agent involved other than putting it on the MLS.
Yeah.
And so if you're a real estate agent and you run into one of those that's listed as a for sale by owner, but maybe... you know, they put it on the MLS with a flat fee service. That doesn't mean don't follow up with them. Because I've listed plenty of those because there was not a professional there. The seller's making their own calls and you're running into the same scenario.
Yeah, that's junk in, junk out, right? They're going to put on the MLS exactly what you send to them. So if it's priced inappropriately, the pictures suck, anything, junk in, junk out.
Right.
So you'll be able to identify that. If it's listed as a for sale by owner, you find it on the MLS. Mm-hmm. But the listing doesn't look very professional, all this stuff. Still follow up with them because there's an opportunity there.
Right. Let's get into your strategy as a real estate agent and how you should be thinking about this. So the first thing that I always go to is mindset, because this is what gets everybody crossways, which is, or not everybody, but there are a lot of people that are just scared about making that initial call. And so a lot of what we talk about in that initial part is just like, hey, how do you need to think or feel about making these cold calls? The first place that I default to as a coach is like, okay, I want you to think about first, like just money. Okay. Just the exchange of, hey, I'm going to make this phone call and I'm going to get a return on this phone call. So what we figured based on the phone calls that you make to for sale by owners, because you're going to, you know, basically the numbers go, you're going to call 10. Okay. You're going to set appointment with three, and then you're going to list one out of those three with proper follow-up. So what we figured out with the math is that you're going to make somewhere between $150 to $350 per call, depending what market you're in. So every time you pick up the phone, whether somebody answers or not, you are making money. And so you have to just translate the opportunity and the numbers into actually cash into your pocket. So when you get a rejection, great, doesn't matter. You made 150 bucks. You get somebody, you know, who an unanswered call, doesn't matter. You made 150 bucks.
Yep.
So you just have to kind of process. You have to think about it in that way. The statistics, the way the statistics work, it's somewhere between 86 and 88% of for sale by owners list their house. So it's not a question. So again, almost 9 out of 10 are going to list. So it's not a question of if, it is a question of when and with whom. And the worst feeling, by the way, is when you have a for sale by owner in your neighborhood and you didn't make the call, and then you see somebody else's sign go up in that yard.
Yep.
It feels terrible. So don't be that agent. Don't waste the opportunity.
A more important statistic than that is that between 1 and 3% of internet leads transact mm-hmm. with you. 18 to 20% on the very low end of for sale by owners will become mm-hmm. listings.
Right.
So
Ratios. Yeah, it's a free lead source. It costs nothing.
So your internet leads, you're paying between $5 and $25 a piece for. And I'm not talking about Zillow. I'm talking about straight up internet leads.
Right.
But between $5 and $25 a piece for those,
mm-hmm.
1 in 3%. So you need to build a huge database. And I'm not saying that those lead sources don't make sense. If you build a big enough database, yeah. you'll have some deals in there.
Yes.
But these are at a much higher rate for free.
Yeah, your ratios are going to be so much better with this free lead source than anything that you could pay for. I mean, as a matter of fact, the best lead sources that you could pay for, which would be like Zillow, Broadcast, things like that, same conversion rate.
Yeah, and you're not paying 35% at the closing table for Zillow yeah. Flex or...
Or 600 bucks a lead or whatever the case may be. Exactly. The other thing that I forgot to mention, which I wanted to mention in the mindset is... the mindset of service. So don't be thinking of this as like, I need to get this listing to make money. Look at it like, hey, I'm here to help this person. And really, when you look at the economy of the world, what you get paid for is your level of service to other people. So when you're serving people, you make money. So you're there to serve them, find ways to serve them. Even if you can't necessarily see a dollar amount, if you get yourself in the mindset of service and you do things that serve people, I promise you it will work out in the long run.
Yeah.
So don't quit attaching money to every single thing in terms of the, you know, your effort on behalf of that potential client. Just look for ways to serve them, and then you can implement the cost or whatever, basically your sale, depending on what they need. Right. Yeah.
And you're not going to win any for sale by owners on the very first phone call.
No.
That's not the goal either. The goal first is to help them. And
that's right.
You'll know very quickly from that phone call how it progresses on what they need. Mm-hmm. Provide it to them for no charge,
yeah.
for no obligations, no anything. Just give it to them.
Yeah.
And trust me, that will automatically open the door of reciprocity.
Mm-hmm. Don't have commission breath. I've told this story before on a previous podcast, but I'm going to tell it again, just as an example for a for sale by owner. So I went on a for sale by owner appointment during COVID. The daughter of the owners of the home, she wasn't able to go to her graduation because they canceled graduations, and she was very upset about it. And potential client even said, don't mention it, you know, because she's upset about it. We said, okay, no problem. So we didn't. And we ended up, it was training another agent. And when we got back to the office, I said, hey, call Nothing But Cakes, order a cake, have it delivered, right? And say happy, you know, graduation, congratulations. Well, we ended up getting that listing, because we were just looking for a way to serve them and connect with them. And it had nothing to do with the real estate.
Yep.
It was just a connection. It was just a service. And we got the listing.
Yep. That's how it works.
The other thing, understanding that most people are not going to be rude. I'm not telling you, you're not going to get told off, but most people are going to be relatively friendly, and we'll teach you how to maybe shape that call here in just a minute. But the idea is that I'm going to get yelled at if I make this phone call. And that's really not the case. Most people are going to be.
No. They might say, you're the fourth real estate agent to call me today.
Right.
but that's okay.
But they're not, they're typically not going to bite your head off.
No.
But what you can do is create what we call a pattern interrupt. Okay. So listen up. This is basically how you can kind of break that up because, and I want you to think about yourself when a salesperson calls you. Okay. And the first thing, if they hit and they sound super salesy, the first thing you're thinking is, how do I get off the phone?
Yep.
Okay. So if you haven't done a pattern interrupt before, you might need to find one that works well for you. Just Google pattern interrupt and there'll be a whole list of different ways that you can do it. I've heard them as like the ones that I've used is, hey, my name is Brandon. I'm a realtor. I know you've talked to a ton of realtors. Don't hang up. Right. I've said, what's another one? Oh, hey, this is Brandon. I'm a real estate agent, but I'm not calling to list your house. Right. So something to just kind of break that up to where you're kind of, whatever their mental pattern is, you're shifting it.
Yeah.
And we're creating a little break.
And we do that because the first thing they're going to say is, I'm not listing my house for the real estate agent. Don't call
me. Right.
So you're just doing that to get ahead of it.
You're getting ahead of it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it kind of, they're going, oh, the plan that I had for this call and those just like, you know, nanoseconds has changed. And now I'm listening.
And you've got that brief second just for an intro of some sort, whereas you might not have had it before where they're just going to say, sorry, I'm not listing my house with an agent. Click.
Right. So we may get into that again in a minute, but just making the call. But that pattern interrupt is going to be very beneficial to you. Okay. The other thing is your first 10 calls as a real estate agent to for sale by owners, they're going to suck. You're not going to sound great.
Yeah.
You're going to stumble all over yourself. You know, I've even told agents that were super scared about it. I'm like, just make 10 phone calls, ask them about the information on the house and hang up.
Yeah. It's live on the job training.
Right. So you're not going to do a great job with it. And you just need to own that. It's like, look, anybody that does anything for the first time, you're just not going to have proficiency in that thing until you have repetition. And so you've just got to accept that there's repetition to this. That's going to create that proficiency and create that expertise.
Yep. And if you haven't gotten rejected in one of these yet, you just haven't done enough of them.
That's for sure. All right. And then, okay. So let's talk about the purpose of the phone call. When you're doing these outbound calls is, I think a lot of people, and you probably have heard of other people doing the same thing, is they think that they're like trying to sell over the phone. Like, have you thought about listing your house? Well, let me tell you what we can do for you.
Never do that.
Never do it.
Like, yeah, you're not going to win the listing over the phone. You're not.
No.
You might get lucky one in a million, but that's not the goal of the call.
That's exactly right. Like the goal of the call is just to set an appointment to go to the house. And you've probably experienced this. Like, I don't know about you, but like if a salesperson calls me, I'm kind of a jerk. I'm not the same person that I am in real life. I think that's one of the things. I'm like, get to the appointment and even if they were rude to you, they're going to be a different person when you meet them in real life.
Yeah.
So, don't try to list someone over the phone. They're not the same person. And the other thing is like, don't get into really long conversations. No,
set the appointment and move on. Remember, it's $150 per call. You're trying to make more of them. You're not trying to sit on one call and make no headway on someone who has no interest in letting you in their home. So, and that's the thing is you're just trying to get in front of them so you can make a human connection because be yourself. Be yourself when you're in the room. Find out what they're interested in. Play off that. Have a conversation and see where it leads you. And 9 times out of 10, it's probably going to lead you in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So scripting, and by the way, this is going to be in the ebook that's attached in the show notes. Make sure you download this so that you can have the framework to make the call. Okay. Again, back to what we were talking about before. You've got the pattern interrupt, which is, hey, this is Brandon. I'm not calling to list your house. Okay. Or I'm Brandon with 10 Oaks. I'm not calling to list your house. Hey, this is Brandon with 10 Oaks. I know you've talked to a ton of agents today. Don't hang up, right? You know, a lot of people will laugh at that. That's typically what I'm wanting to get. It's just that little break. Okay. Hey, just wanted to learn a little bit more about the house. I saw some stuff on Zillow. I saw the pictures on Zillow. Is there anything that you can tell me about that's not available online?
Yeah. I went to one conference where this guy said that he would say, My name is Brandon. I work with Ten Oaks Real Estate, but I like long walks on the beach and, you know, just say something silly and then they would start laughing and that's your lead in. Just it's anything that you can say to kind of throw them off being super angry at you right away. And again, you're not going to get that a lot. You're not going to get a lot of people yelling at you, but it's the first thing they do want to say is, don't talk to me. Like, I'm not going to listen.
Get off the phone. I've talked to a bunch of agents today. Okay. All right, but yeah, break that up. And then you can say, okay, great. Is there a time I could just come by and take a look at it? I find the simplest way to get to it. If they say, you know, and there are objections. And again, these objections, I don't want to get like way bogged down in all of the different objections because we're going to have them in the ebook. Again, download that. But there's going to be these objections that come up that you can kind of I don't want to say combat, but just respond in a way that's appropriate. But one of the ones that come up a lot is, do you have a buyer?
Yeah.
And that scares agents. And so let's just deal with that one. It's like, well, do you have a buyer? Now, if you are a productive real estate agent or you're attached to a team of real estate agents, which you probably are, your team has buyers and you can share the information with your team. Right. And so leverage that. So it's just a quick way, again, to move on from that part of the phone call, to move on from that objection. You don't need to, do not lie to them. Don't say, hey, like, yeah, I do have a buyer and I'm bringing them with me. Cause then, or I do have a buyer and I'm shopping for them. Cause now we've got to unwind that lie. I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't like that either. And then when you show up and they're looking at the Ring camera, who's he with? And
exactly.
That's a slippery slope. Don't lie. But
don't lie.
You know of a buyer who's probably looking in that neighborhood.
Sure.
Might not be your exact buyer, but guess what? Mm-hmm. You could connect them and still get a referral fee. So that's still your buyer.
Well, that's right. And you're working with other real estate agents that potentially have buyers and you can share the information. Yeah. So it, you know, one of the things that I'll say is, like, hey, look, we work with a ton of buyers. There's a potential that this could be a fit for them, but I don't really know until I come take a look at the house.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to kind of move past it. And then the other one is, once you start to get proficiency, it becomes a lot easier as you become more of an active real estate agent. And by the way, these next three episodes, we're going to really combine all of these things and it'll become a really good working or organic process. But, you know, one of the things that I would love to say is, hey, it's Brandon. I'm doing an open house this Sunday in the neighborhood that's adjacent or in your neighborhood. Wanted to come by and take a look and see if it might be a fit for some of the buyers that I meet on Sunday. Okay.
Yeah,
that's a great lead in because it's going, okay, I'm an active real estate agent. I'm out there making things happen. I'm meeting people all the time. You want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Right. That's when you become that expert, but you need to be doing the work. Right. So I would highly recommend, you know, again, as we work these three episodes, to do all of them congruently, so that way you can create more results.
Yeah, and oftentimes another objection too, and I know we don't want to get bogged down in too many of these, is well, we're not paying a buyer agent fee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's no problem.
Yeah, I'm just gonna come take a look, and I still have people that have needs, and so I, you know, I'm gonna take a look.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just doing the goodwill of my client. So don't ever just totally just stop talking to this person just because they're not paying a buyer agent fee.
Right.
That's, again, you're trying to get an appointment. That's your goal.
Well, and most of the time, it's not even really true. They're just trying to tell you that to get you off the phone.
That's right.
That's it.
If somebody brought the right offer, they would pay a buyer agent fee.
Well, just again, put yourself in their shoes for a second, okay? And you're an optimistic seller who thinks that their house is great, okay? Which all sellers think their house is the best on the block, okay? So I think my house is great. I think I'm going to put it on the market. And then all of this, and I put it on the market. And then all of a sudden, I'm fielding phone calls with more people for more real estate agents than I can even imagine. So typically I'm like, how do I quickly get off the phone? And, you know, it's somebody's going to really have to stand out or be friendly for me to even give them the time of day.
I mean, how do you feel when you apply for a car loan and then you get all these calls from different creditors and all this other stuff? And you want to get off the phone. Like, it's the same concept. People list their house and all of a sudden, as for a sell by owner, and all of a sudden get all these calls that they don't want. And, you know, so they're a little frustrated.
Mm-hmm. And again, if you have the mindset of service, they're going to hear that, you know, that's going to come through in the call. So make sure you have that mindset of service. And by the way, like, I totally have sold for sell by owners to my buyers. So it's a possibility that you could bring a buyer to them and close a deal. I mean, that's completely fine. And, You know, so again, that mindset of service is going to come through.
And if you're always out there having real estate conversations, then knowing more about what's on the market is ultra important. So just use it as that, if nothing else.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the appointment that when you show up at the door and you're ready to walk in the house. And by the way, if they don't show up, that's fine. Don't like let that be a deterrent to you following up with them. As a matter of fact, depending on how you look at it, like I would always like it because it would create a little bit of obligation. Like they missed an appointment. And so now they got to show up at the next one. Right. Yep. So I'm like, that's not no problem. We can reschedule what works best for you. Okay. So, but the first thing that happens is they're going to open the door and it's going to be awkward unless you take some sort of action or lead the interaction. So one of the first things is to say, hey, great to meet you. We talked on the phone. Hey, show me around the house and let me tell me what you've done with it and you know, all that.
In this period, let them do all the talking.
Yes.
Let them talk. Mm-hmm. Whatever they want to say about the house, however much money they spend on the kitchen or the bathroom, mm-hmm. let them talk.
Just, yeah, and just ask questions.
Because guess what? They're going to want to hear what you have to say later. They want to do a lot of talking, and then they're going to ask, well, hey, tell me a little bit more about why you're here or something.
By the way, this is not sales pitch time either.
No.
You are not walking in to pitch.
No.
As a matter of fact, in most cases, and where I may have been getting ahead, you will not pitch at that first meeting.
I hope that you don't.
Yeah.
That you leave there and you've learned about the house. You've let them talk most of the time. You've, you know, provided them answers to questions if they have any, and then you've left.
Right. There's two things that we're trying to learn here. Number one, okay, is timing. When do they want to move? Here's the question that you can ask them. It'd be like, hey, if I were to bring a buyer, how long do you need to move? That's going to give you the timeline in which they're trying to get out of there. Okay. The other thing you want to find out is why they're moving. Okay. Because that's going to give you the, that's going to help you sort of shape your pitch later. But typically what we're looking at for is, or what we're looking again for is that life event, right? We're asking, because if they're just going, oh, I don't know, we're just thinking about what we want
to
do.
Throw up on the market to see what would happen.
See if we can gauge some interest. That person typically isn't selling their house. Because if somebody were to bring them an offer, they're going, oh, crap, now what do we do,
yeah.
right? Because they don't have a place to move to.
And they'll come up all kinds of reasons why the offer's not good enough.
Right, and they're typically pricing it way up because they're like, well, let's see if we can get this number, okay? If you're talking to somebody that goes, yeah, Billy's graduating, and we're downsizing, that's a big enough life event that's going to create some follow-up.
Yep.
Okay?
I have a friend from college that's a real estate agent and mostly does for sale by owners. The only thing that he does in the for sale by owner appointments is find out time and attention for one, but then start to follow up with them for the buy side.
Mm-hmm.
So he, because you know, there's no reason why they wouldn't want to use a real estate agent on the buy side because they're not paying the commission. So, and then usually once they end up listing, they use him because he's been working them on the buy side. But he's only going after, quote unquote, the buy side.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find out that they end up listening with him because he knows that typically they
exactly. List. Yeah, that's a great strategy is to focus on the buy side. Okay. So again, find out why they're moving, find out when they're moving. And then again, back to what we were talking about, you're typically not going to pitch them. So don't feel like you need to take comps or market data. Really, all you need to walk in there with is like a notepad so you can take some notes. And what you're going to take notes on is not what you think. I mean, yes, you're going to take some house data, but you're going to write down names. We're going to write down names of kids. We're going to write down names of pets, right? So we can create that connection with them as individuals, as human beings. So that way in your follow-up, you can have great conversations with people about how things are going in their life, and that's going to make them connect with you better.
Yeah, any kind of information you can use in a follow-up conversation is important. If you find out that Susie's birthday is next week, send a birthday card for Susie next week.
Mm-hmm.
Just write it down on your notepad, leave, send a birthday card, put it in the mail. Anything that you can use to build up trust and rapport in that conversation, that's all you're doing is just taking those notes.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you're going to, so we're going to find out just generally what the condition of the home is, and then we can follow up with what we think that it's priced at. So let's talk about that follow-up call. Are we done with that part of it, the pitch?
Yep.
Okay, we're not pitching. Okay, we're going to go on the follow-up call. Okay, on the first follow-up call, we're going to let them know right, what the value of their home is, if they're close, if they're too high, if they're too low or whatever, you're not going to say this in a way that is not tactful, right? We're going to have share objective data, be like, hey, I got some comps for you. Want to pull it based on the condition of your home. You're looking at, you know, X amount per square foot. So I'm seeing it land around here. So I wanted to let you know that, right? So you're following up with, again, some value. And the other thing is, from that point, you can say, okay, that's when you can pitch. It's like, hey, want to let you know, if you're ever interested in listing, this is what I can do for you, right? Yep. At that point, you can pitch, right? Once you've built up some trust, rapport, you've gone to the appointment, right? You've pulled the data, you've seen the inside of their house, so you can speak knowledgeably about them. You can speak knowledgeably about their goal, right? I typically like to focus on is like, hey, and then we can get this place sold and get you onto Florida.
Yep.
Right. So we're connecting with their future. So this house becomes kind of like dead weight. And and then we're going to talk about something controversial.
The only thing I would add to that before you do, don't lose that thought.
All right.
The only thing I would add to that is I wouldn't be mad at you if you didn't try to close on that call either.
Yeah.
Like if you just sent the comps, you gave them some advice, but hey, I talked to some of my agent friends. I talked to some of my buyers, you know, kind of here's the feedback. I just wanted to share it with you.
Yeah.
And just leave it. And that's two times now you've showed up and not said a word about listing their house. Mm-hmm. You're just going to continue to plant these seeds in their brain that like, hey, this person is just helping me.
Right.
I'm not saying you can't. You need to fill out that conversation. But if you left that conversation, you still didn't try to list, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a dance though, because what you don't want to do is miss out because you didn't say something,
that's true.
You don't want to move too forward. And a lot of that can be determined by the intention or how big of a hurry they are to sell.
And the more you do of these, you'll start to feel that out. Like if you're if they're still kind of at a distance from you, they're not being very friendly, they haven't, you know, they took the call, but you can kind of tell they don't want to be on the phone, probably not the time to go in. But if it's a super warm call, oh, hey, thanks for the birthday card you sent for Susie, all these things, now's the time to maybe ask that question.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then again, empathize with them. Put yourself in their shoes and say, hey, knowing their situation, knowing that everything that's, you know, those things that are going on in their life, what would I need to hear?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And sell to them that way.
Yeah. So super controversial is what you said.
Oh, yeah. Discounting to do or not to do. Should I discount my listing? Now, there is a lot of talk about this. Now, I am a proponent of discounting to get the listing, but let me tell you why. Here's why. I'm just thinking to myself
I'm not as big of a fan of discounting.
All right, here's why. Okay, so when you list, okay, here's what you're creating. You're creating opportunity. Okay, so when you list a house, not only are you typically going to secure a purchase for them, right? So we've got two transactions, but you're typically going to create opportunity either through sign calls, through open houses, through general activity, maybe a referral from them or someone who knows them. So one listing equals, on average, if you're doing it well, if you're doing it the right way, it should equal three transactions. So I think especially for new real estate agents, discounting, and I don't want to tell you what to discount to, that's between you and your broker, but discounting to get that listing creates business. So I'm a proponent of it. So argue with that.
I'm okay with discounting.
Okay.
I don't love it. I feel more like know your value and show your value and then set the price for that value. However, I do understand all the points that you made. I do understand that it can turn into multiple other transactions.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with discounting, especially for new agents.
Yeah.
Who don't have anything working and don't have a pipeline.
Yeah. Now, I want to create some momentum. It's like, I guess my thought is like you cannot discount later, but get some things in the pipeline and you can kind of educate yourself and get some things moving.
Yeah. And I'm totally fine with that as a newer agent. But once you have built up that pipeline, I just feel like you don't need to discount.
True.
You don't need to chase that one deal. You're going to do real estate activity as we have taught you, and it's going to create a pipeline for you that doesn't require discounting. But in the beginning, totally fine with it.
Well, and I will say even at the beginning, sometimes agents discount too much or they're not creating the right pressure in that scenario to create a higher listing fee? Because I do think you're worth 6%, right? 3% on each side. There's no question about it, like what I think someone is worth in the transaction. But I do think some people may give too soon or more than they have to.
And that was really my point, is that people default straight to discounting without having a discussion about what their goals are or understanding kind of where they're at. Like if you do enough of these, you'll start to learn this person will never list unless I discount. Mm-hmm. And you'll know that from the two or three conversations you have with them. And that's fine. So do the discount, get the listing.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're having great conversations with people, it's heading in the right direction, you might not have to go there.
Right. Well, whatever you do, learn from it. Like take the feedback from the client, take the feedback from the market, right? And make your own way here, whether you discount or not. Try to basically be gauging that consistently and having honest conversations with yourself.
It also depends on the list price, right? Like if you're working, on a listing in a neighborhood and it's, you know, above $1 million and you're okay, you're like, the commission's still great for me, I'm okay with discounting, do it. But if it's a $250,000 house and you're going to end up netting like a couple $1,000 or two and you think that the time's not worth it, then don't discount.
Yeah. Okay, so this last part, last but not least, okay, this is where you are going to get listings or not going to get them. So all of the stuff we've talked about in terms of your first contact, in terms of the meeting, your first follow-up meeting, it is the follow-up after that that really is going to determine whether you get that listing or not, okay? No question. It's the people who follow up consistently week after week after week that get the buildup of listings, and if you're not going to do that, then your numbers are going to be severely affected negatively by your lack of it.
Most agents that are doing these phone calls are trying to get the listing on the very first phone call. And if they don't, they aren't calling back.
Right. Huge mistake. Yeah.
So if you are setting the appointment, going on the appointment, giving them free information afterwards, follow-up calls, you are already way ahead.
Yes, that's exactly right. So just keep doing it. And here's the difference between successful. Like I've got realtors right now that have $6 million worth of listings that are their first year in real estate because they're doing for sale by owners. Okay. The one consistent strategy or the feedback that I get from them is that they were having a one-way conversation for a lot of the follow-ups.
Almost always.
Right. Whether it's text or voicemail. Hey, just following up. Want to see if you guys have made any changes. And this is why this is important, okay? And because you do this too, right? You've got a lot of things going on in your life. You're busy, you got kids, you got whatever, you're on to soccer games, you got family in town, you're going on vacation, you're coming back from vacation. There's so much stuff going on in your life. And you're thinking all the time, like, I need to do this thing, okay? And this realtor's calling me and I need to call them back. But guess what? It falls. The text gets buried, right? Most people don't audit their text messages. Right, the text gets buried, the voicemail gets buried. They're thinking to themselves, "Oh, I need to get back with that person." But if you don't do it consistently enough, they're going to, once they get to that point where they go, throwing my hands up, like, "All right, I'm ready to move on. I got to sell this thing and move on."
Yeah.
Guess what? Remind me to turn off my phone, by the way, next time. Okay, but you have to the time where they're exasperated. If you're not the first realtor they think of, you lost.
Yeah, and think about it. You know, put yourself in their shoes, right? It's very easy for you to get back to your best friend.
Yeah.
Your best friend sends you a text. There's no thought there. You can just respond because you guys know each other, how you guys interact. It's easy.
Yeah.
But the minute someone reaches out to you, phone call, text, whatever, that you don't converse with often or ever, you have to think about it. You have to sit down. You have to call them back is more challenging because you're not just going to pick up the phone. It's going to be loose conversation. Like think about it from their shoes. Like it's not easy for them to get down, to sit down and like get back to you. So of course it's going to get buried around all those other texts from people that you know and converse with often.
Right.
So it's not personal.
It's not personal. So quit taking it that way and just continue to follow up week after week after week. Even if it's a one-sided conversation, you'd be amazed at how many of those end up converting and they're going to the first realtor that stayed. And one of the things they say a lot is like, hey, I appreciate your persistence. I appreciate your follow-up.
Yeah. Anyway. Until they say, leave me alone, stop calling me, keep at it.
Right. The other thing is ask what you can do to help them. Okay. Like, hey, how can I help this? Like, what do you need from me? Is there anything that I can do to help you? And then the other thing, and we had a guy in Tulsa that did this and was great. He would always ask for an open house. He goes, hey, I've got a couple of opportunities for open houses this weekend. Can I do an open house for you? And he said if the ones that agreed to do an open house, he would convert them at 90%.
Yeah.
Because he's, again, serving them. So he would say, hey, got a couple of opportunities to do open houses for people this weekend to get you some solid feedback. And showcase your house without you in it, because there is a disconnect when people walk in the house and they know that it's yours. They don't want to say anything negative and they're trying to get out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, most people are just, they have some trepidation about the seller being in the house when they're taking a look at that product. And so let me get you some honest feedback and create a little more relaxed atmosphere for people who are coming in. Boom. And then you're serving them. And before you know it, you're the first person they think of because you did a service for them.
Great idea.
Okay. So let's just follow up, or not follow up. Let's wrap up here again. Have a great mindset. Make sure that you are starting with service. Okay. The purpose of the call is just to set the appointment and then get to the appointment. Okay. We're going to have the scripts in the, we're going to put those in the show notes where you can download them.
Yep. We'll put scripts a download link in the show notes. That's right. If you're on YouTube, and then we'll do the same on the audio podcast.
Right. And then on the appointment, right? Take charge of that appointment. Have them show you around. Find out what the time and intention is. Follow up consistently, and that's going to create long-term success for you, even if it's a one-way conversation. Okay. That was good. That was a fun episode. I'm telling you guys, it may not seem complicated, but I'm telling you, if you do it, it will work.
Yeah. And we have two more episodes in this series over the next 2 weeks. So stay tuned for those.
Yeah. Looking forward to sharing more with you guys. All right. All right. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you at the next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.